From Michigan State University in East Lansing, this is Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Reginald Hardwick, Digital News Director at WKAR. This is your Mid-Michigan magazine for the weekend of August 19th and 20th. You are seconds away from a chat with one of two candidates hoping to be the next leader of Lansing.
We're going to go neighborhood by neighborhood to talk about roads. We're talking about corridor improvement.
Also, we know today what you may be voting on next year.
It seems like at this point it's very likely that we will have at least one marijuana legalization proposal on the 2018 ballot.
Our Capitol correspondent Shayna Roth joins me in studio. Plus, WKAR is celebrating its 95th birthday, and you'll hear how the music has changed through the years. But first, our top story. For the first time in more than a decade, Lansing voters will decide on a new mayor. State Representative Andy Shore and City Councilmember Judy Brown Clark survived the primary and are now focused on winning in November.
I really love being in a position of building and growing and supporting my community. And so I really enjoy this both as, you know, city council person and now running for mayor. I've got the bug.
We are scheduled to talk to Brown Clark next week. State Representative Andy Shore is in his third term representing the 68th House District, including the city of Lansing and Lansing Township. Now the Democrat, husband, and father of three wants to replace Virge Bonero as Lansing mayor. I talked with him a few days ago.
Thank you for having me.
You won a majority of votes on primary day. From now until November, is it kind of coasting through, or where does your campaign go from here?
Yeah, we never coast. We're aggressive. We're talking with voters, having conversations about my vision and my ideas and hearing their thoughts about the city. It's really going to be more of what we have been doing, which is talking about where Lansing is going, talking about my vision for the city of the future. You know, we've got four key areas that we're talking about. We're talking about neighborhoods. We're talking about economic and community development and growth of the city and jobs. We're talking about infrastructure and public services, so things like our roads and sidewalks and our public safety and the city's relationship with our schools.
If elected mayor, what is your first priority or set of priorities?
Well, I've got several. You know, it's not just one thing. We're going to do several things at one time. I mean, clearly the roads are the biggest issue, the most common issue that comes up. We have a plan, which we're going to set in motion, a long-term plan to fix priority roads neighborhood by neighborhood. And we're also going to look at our sidewalks, which also need a lot of help. So those are some of the biggest issues, but we've got others. You know, again, I want to continue to grow Lansing, and we have plans and ideas that we're going to start setting into place regarding grocery stores and riverfront development, the downtown, our commercial corridors, our commercial associations, be it Old Town or Rio Town, you know, Michigan Avenue or the Saginaw-Oakland corridor, Cedar, Pennsylvania, MLK, all of our kind of commercial corridors. We're going to continue to create a business environment that grows jobs here in Lansing. We're going to work on strong neighborhoods and work on parks and housing, and we're going to try and put together all of these pieces in the beginning and start moving that forward. So, you know, yeah, there are more important priorities such as the roads, which we need to establish, and we need to start meeting with different parts of the city, neighborhood by neighborhood, to establish priorities within each part and then start costing that out and spending. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to work on all the priorities that I talk about in my plan and start setting up all these plans now for, you know, the next 4 years at least, if the voters elect me on November 7th.
How do you get the council to work together in more unified fashion? Because we see a lot of the arguments and divisiveness or back and forth between the mayor and the council now. How will you help that?
Well, I'm coming from the outside. I'm the state representative now. I have worked with all of the different council members as a state legislator, as we've worked on legislation. You know, I have worked with the so-called pro-mayor side and the so-called anti-mayor side. I don't see council as either on my side or against me. I see them as partners that are going to move forward with me as leaders in the city. So, you know, whether it's Carol Wood or Patricia Spitzley or, you know, any of the folks who are there now, Jody Washington, Adam Hussein, you know, Tina Houghton, although she faces an election, you know, Kathy Dunbar facing an election, and then there's two open seats. I can work with any of the folks that are coming in. You know, I can work with Brian Jackson. I can work with Jim McClurkin. I can work with Jeremy Garza. You know, I can work with Tina Houghton. So I have good relationships with all of the folks who are running and with the folks on council now, and I'm going to utilize those relationships. We're going to meet regularly. Dave Hollister used to have brown bag lunches with council members, and we're going to do that again. People are always going to disagree, but we can do that respectfully. And it's different than how things have been done in the recent past. You see these factions on council, and you see a lot of push and pull between the mayor and council. And my intention is to work with all of them and start off on a good footing.
And we're talking with Lansing mayoral candidate Andy Shore. There seems to be a feeling that Wards 2 and 4 feel like all the money goes downtown. You know, when you talk to those communities, what can you tell them that you're going to do for them as mayor?
And this is one of the reasons we're going to go neighborhood by neighborhood to talk about roads. We're talking about corridor improvement. You know, in Ward 2, which is South Lansing, you've got Cedar in Pennsylvania. You got parts of MLK. You know, we're going to talk about corridor development, small businesses along those corridors. When you talk about Ward 4 that goes all the way up through the north side, again, we can talk about the Saginaw-Oakland corridor. We can talk about MLK all the way up north. Now, even if, you know, the first ward and the third ward are not any different. So people in the downtown always think the money goes to other parts of Lansing. People in South Lansing think the money goes to the north. Everybody thinks the money's going somewhere else. So the best way to combat that is to show, you know, where are the road dollars going? Where are the business incentives being utilized? How can we try and help out to create a better atmosphere for small businesses on the corridors? So we're gonna be transparent and show all of that information and work with each of the individual neighborhoods to ensure that we're supporting all of the city, whether you're north side, south side, Eaton County or Ingham County, you know, east side or west side, we're gonna help them all.
Last May, WKAR News produced a week-long series on marijuana in Michigan. Our lead story was the interesting system of licensing and regulating medical marijuana in Lansing. Where do you stand on that, and where does it need to go from here?
Well, as a state representative last September, I supported legislation that will allow the city to regulate dispensaries and regulate how that's done outside of the initiated state law. And it's being considered now. You know, I have some benchmarks as mayor that I would like to see. I'd like to see very strict regulation. We need to make sure that there are good actors that are operating these dispensaries, that there's safety in the product, that there are, you know, neighborhood considerations, that there's not odor and things like that, that there is security, that there are financial obligations. So those need to all of the conditions need to be worked in to our policy. And then we need to do regular inspections to make sure that the good actors are the ones who are operating and following these regulations. I also have concerns about some of the clustering. You know, you go down streets like Cedar and you see many of them all in one area. And I've had a lot of neighborhoods where the neighbors are upset about that and where some of the other businesses are leaving. So I kind of have a few benchmarks I'd like to see. City Council is working on that now. I don't know what the result's going to be, and we'll know soon, I hope, and after the election. And in January 1st, if I'm elected and when we come into office, we'll take a look and see what's there. Is it working? If it's working, great. If it's not working, then we'll work with council to fix it. And if we don't have anything because nothing has passed, then we'll get to work with council to initiate and create a policy. So I think we need to have an ordinance on the books here that we are enforcing, again, using certain benchmarks, but working with our council, working with our neighborhoods, working with the patients to make sure we have the most effective ordinance. We don't need to have, you know, 120 dispensaries in Lansing, I don't believe. So I think that we need to look at what we have and make sure we have good actors and go from there.
What's the biggest challenge that Lansing faces, in your opinion?
Well, we've got a few. Lansing is a great city. It's a city that is coming back. You know, it's a city that we're seeing significant development. We have some perception problems. You still have people out there who think that, you know, Lansing is dead at nights and on weekends, and that's just not true. Try and find a parking spot, you know, downtown on a Sunday or Saturday, and it's tough. We have perceptions of our schools that are very negative, even within our city, and I think that needs to be reversed. We have these pathways now, and we have schools that offer, you know, a new tech program, a Chinese immersion, a Montessori. We have a lot of options, an international baccalaureate, things that other people don't realize we have, and that even our own parents here don't realize we have. So we have some perceptions. I think, you know, the mayor now and Mayor Hollister, Mayor Benavides, they all did a lot of work kind of reforming and rebuilding the city. Our superintendent has done a good job with our schools. We need to scream it from the rooftops. We need to talk about the great things here in Lansing, about, you know, everything that's happening, and we need to increase the growth, and we need to in increase the help for our neighborhoods. So we need to continue to work on these issues, but also try and reverse the perception.
What are some of your perceptions about what's going on nationally, especially with the White House?
You know, most of my focus has been on here in the city and at the state level. You know, I'm still a state representative, so I'm still working on a variety of pieces of legislation. I'm still working through what we need to do here in the city. I mean, there are things that I really don't like. You know, the recent Charlottesville incident where people were killed. You know, I think we have to say this is a problem. You know, we have a white supremacy group. We have the KKK, you know, back in action. And we need to stand up and say this is a problem. And that's something that Republican leaders and Democratic leaders have been saying. And, you know, I do have concerns when the president says it's everybody's problem. I think that we need to look and see what happened.
What makes Lansing special to you and your family?
So many things. You know, we love being here. We love the atmosphere. We love the ability to go out and have amenities and do things and have fun. You know, we like the schools. We're very happy with the schools. Both my kids are in the Lansing schools, and we think they're getting an excellent education. You know, I enjoy the parks here in Lansing. I run the river trail whenever I can, when I have some time. So we do a lot of things here in the city. You know, if we go to brunch downtown on a Sunday morning, there's lots to do. Lansing really is kind of where the action is, and we enjoy being here. And yet, you know, you don't always have to be downtown. You can be in so many other parts of this city that has so much to offer. So we moved here, you know, 20 years ago because we really loved everything that Lansing has to offer. And to be able to be part of making it even better and to lead this city is truly an honor. And if the citizens like my vision and my leadership style, then I'm happy to take that on and push Lansing into the future. I'm excited about it.
And again, that was State Representative Andy Shore, one of two candidates running for mayor of Lansing. We are scheduled to talk to his opponent, City Councilwoman Judy Brown Clark, in a week. And you can read about both candidates at WKAR.org. Just search Elections 2017. Can you believe it? Last Friday, WKAR Radio turned 95 years old. So during today's breaks, you'll hear music spanning our station's history. Enjoy a little Andante Festivo. It debuted in 1922 when WKAR officially signed on the air. In this busy week of news, you may have missed some key political headlines here in Michigan, so let's get you updated. Joining us right now is Michigan Public Radio's Shayna Roth.
Thank you, Reginald, for having me. Very excited to be here.
Let's start with a couple of things that happened this week. We'll start with the wrongful convictions, kind of compensation for people who are innocent.
Yeah, so what happened this week is the Court of Claims over in Detroit, they started these hearings, and the hearings are meant to determine if somebody qualifies for compensation after being wrongfully convicted. There was a law that just went into effect, and that law gives these former inmates about $50,000 for every year that they were in prison. What was interesting was that we found that there are limitations to this law. You have to meet certain qualifications in order to get the compensation. Two of the four cases that were kind of up in front of the judge this week, they were essentially thrown out because there wasn't new evidence. And what the judge was saying is, look, the law says that there has to be some type of new evidence in your case, be it DNA or a new witness comes forward. And that is what is basically the reason for you getting exonerated. And these other two people, at least one of them, they had a new trial. And in that new trial, they were found not guilty. But that doesn't qualify because there wasn't any new evidence in the case.
And one of the men who will be compensated was there, and you talked to him, right?
Yes. That was a young man named Marwin McHenry. He is in his mid-20s. He was spent about 4 years in prison, and he's going to be getting about $175,000. Obviously, he was very excited. you know, it's interesting to talk to, you know, to talk to him because, as he said, like, you know, there's really no dollar amount that you can give me for my time. You know, this is something that is helpful. It's going to be beneficial for me in the future. He wants to go into real estate. But I mean, you really can't put a true dollar amount on what it was like to be in prison for something that you didn't do.
Now let's look ahead to some ballot initiatives that we may see in 2018. One concerns earned sick time. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we really just, I mean, it seems like we just had an election and, like, no, we can't stop talking about 2018 yet. But the Board of State Canvassers met and they approved as to form a couple different initiatives. And one of them is the earned sick time. What that would do is all employers would be required to allow their employees, be they part-time or full-time, earn sick time. So for every 30 hours worked, you would get an hour of sick time. And this would be, you know, is really beneficial for, you know, students and you know, people who might work several part-time jobs. You know, when you get sick, you should be able to call. Their thinking is when you get sick, you should be able to call into work and not have to, you know, be punished for that, as long as you've earned it.
Sounds like something that makes sense to everyone, but are there opponents to that?
None that I really spoke to. This is an initiative that I know that the legislature has kind of tried to take up a couple times. It's never really gotten anywhere. So speaking with one of the women who was a part of the effort, you know, she's like, we're just going to try and take it to the people, and we're just going to try and see what we can do from this end. However, this is the third time that this issue has been in front of the Board of Canvassers, but it still hasn't made the ballot. So who knows, maybe this year they'll get the signatures and they'll pass everything else and they'll get to put it on the ballot this year.
Okay, another ballot initiative deals with drawing districts here in Michigan.
Yes, so that one is, there were lots of people at the meeting for that one. When it passed, there was a lot of cheering and whooping and hollering. This is a really grassroots effort called Voters Not Politicians is the name of the group. And what they want to do is they want to completely change the way that Michigan draws its district lines. They want to get rid of gerrymandering. So if you look at a map of district lines, I mean, it's like they're not squares. They're not shapes found in nature by any means. So they want to make it so that it's impartial, it's nonpartisan, and it's fair. So they have this whole plan in place for, you know, how, like, there would be a council, and you'd have Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and everybody would kind of come together to figure out, this is how we draw these lines. And they believe that by doing this, it will make sure that all votes are heard and that the people's voices are once again heard, because gerrymandering can, you know, suppress votes and can be, depending on who's in power and who draws those lines, can really favor one party over another.
And I know a lot of eyes are on Michigan, especially with the way the 2016 election went.
Yes, and that was definitely something that, when it comes to voting, Michigan has kind of been thrust into the spotlight because it was so close here.
Any other ballot initiatives that may come up?
The only other one they had was an initiative that would legalize marijuana. This is one of several legalizing marijuana petitions out there. So whether or not they're able to secure the signatures whilst competing, although maybe working with these other initiatives, it seems like at this point it's very likely that we will have at least one marijuana legalization proposal on the 2018 ballot. It's just a matter of, you know, which one and how many.
Well, thank you, Shana, for joining us. And you can hear her reports every morning on Morning Edition and on All Things Considered in the afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sweet and lovely lady, be good. Oh, lady, be good to me, 'cause I'm so awfully misunderstood. Oh, lady, be good to me. Say I'm all alone.
Ah, lady, be good, from the first lady of song, Ella Fitzgerald. There are all kinds of things available at farmers markets, but WKAR's Jamie Paisley found one Michigan nonprofit that provides something a little bit different than the other vendors.
Among the asparagus, tomatoes, and artisan bread on sale at the East Lansing Farmers Market, Myla Froreep is dealing with a finicky customer.
Hi there, would you like to make a flag with us?
Yes, if it doesn't mean that your hands have to get busy.
See, it's green. Mm.
What do you think about these? Would you like to take the risk of your hands maybe getting a little dirty, or would you like to put a glove on?
I would like to put a glove on.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
James and his sister Elizabeth are the last of about 150 customers, so to speak, to the East Lansing Farmers Market as part of the Reach Studio Art Truck, led today by Frohre.
This is the original, yeah. So it originally started out, Alice Brinkman, the executive director at Reach, she, when she first started Reach, would just pack up, you know, her car and take art activities to schools, which we still do, because sometimes we're in high demand. Yeah. We've all loaded up our cars to the brim at least once.
Frohre tells me that the Reach Studio Art Truck even has a bit of a waiting list when it comes to the locations it can travel to, from farmers markets like this one in East Lansing to art fairs, school and neighborhood events, and even doing some birthday parties.
The funding comes from lots of different places. So Reach is a nonprofit, so we do receive some grant funding to do some of our activities, and then other community organizations don't ask. You know, we're just excited to be here.
Today's activity with the Reach Art Studio truck involves making a flag or pennant.
Elizabeth and James, I'm Myla. It's very nice to meet you. All right, so pick a flag, any flag. Okay, so our first goal is to put a flag pole, attach it to our flag. And I have tape. Now, I can tell you what to do, or I can let you problem solve the way that you are going to get your flag pole on there.
I think I know how.
Okay.
They're using a combination of watercolor paints and oil pastel crayons to make designs that are completely up to the children.
No, I think I'll use this one. Can I paint over the...
Yeah, see what happens. That's the funnest part for me.
But with so many activities that engage children and parents in a variety of different ways, how does the Reach Studio Art Truck decide what art-making skills are best for each event? Again, Myla Frohre.
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. Sometimes it's just personal preference. Other times, different community organizations request certain things. But we have come up with projects through the years that that kids can do that are make and take that go along with them. And then other ones, we want it to be more of a process-based, so it's just about experiencing the art, and they don't take anything with them. They just make something, like splattering paint.
You can find more about the Reach Art Studio, its full range of activities engaging both children and adults, including the Reach Art Truck. That's online at reachstudioart.org. For WKAR from the East Lansing Farmers Market, I'm Jamie Paisley.
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
That was Kate Smith singing God Bless America, which debuted the same year as WKAR Radio's 15th year on the air. And all hour, we are celebrating our big 95th anniversary.